The Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Hello, Sam. Sorry, we're working on a fan on our areas of interest, if you would. For some reason, in my apartment, this room gets warm. Anyway,
it does.
Welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode number nobody cares, but it's 341.
I care.
With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, TheKevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Control Alt Backspace.
Right.
Do you know you bounce to this tune now?
I love this song.
Yeah, it's good.
It's something it gets me
into. Oh, it's Pan, too. Did you notice that the horns are on the right channel?
Oh, yeah.
That's good. There's a
I
lot
think I have
on.
My headphones on backwards because that's my left. That's funny.
Oh, do I?
Or am I?
No, no. Yeah, you're backwards. Backwards. Yeah.
No, I just hear wrong. What if something's wrong with my brain?
The whole time.
Yeah, you want to talk about that? You saw that?
Yeah.
It's all in the mind. If you want to test me, I'm sure you'll find the things I'll teach you. Sure to beat you. Nevertheless, you'll get a lesson from teacher. Now kick.
Did you ever play this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it was a weirdly simple, fun game. And I think a lot of it had to do with the music. Am I right?
Absolutely. This person's good.
He's watching somebody play on you on YouTube.
That's good,
Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah, this game's old. This is about a 10-year-old game at least.
Return on PlayStation Vita.
Oh, that'll be great.
It's been more than 4 years since the last time we had anything to report on Parappa, the rapping pup, whose foray into the original PlayStation is credited as kick-starting the rhythm-based gaming genre. And while the 2007 PSP port of the original Parappa remains the last title released in the series, creator Masaya Matsuura recently hinted that the arrival of the PlayStation Vita could mean the return of Parappa. We always think about the possibility of remaking or rebuilding or making sequels, Matsuura told Joystick, adding that he prefers handheld systems to consoles due to the latency issues that develop between controller and screen.
Huh, that's very
interesting. Why there's a good chance the Vita could play host to a new Parappa adventure.
Well, then that's fascinating. He's saying that consoles are a better medium for the art form because of the sync issue because it's a rhythm-based game. That's fascinating.
Instead of like a computer, right?
Right. Okay. Because I was reading a whole bunch of articles on people who develop for games and why, or for PCs, and why you'd want to use a computer over consoles, because the processing power for a computer is 10 times the best console on the market. But that's a good place where it's you just have too many
and
variables.
It took, what, 3 generations of consoles to really be able to be like, hey, we're just like computers. Am I wrong? Like, I mean, I know that like
it's
Nintendo
still better
back in the time, but I felt like a computer game still looked better than a Nintendo. Am I wrong on that?
Of course. Well, Nintendo isn't even in high def. I mean, the Wii U will be the first one that's good for your plasma screen.
The first
screen.
Nintendo, you mean?
Yeah. They're like 8 decades behind.
But it says that that isn't the only thing holding Parappa developer Nana Ansha back from making another game with Chop Chop Master Onion, instructor Mussolini,
that's
MC King Kong, Mushi. MC King Kong Mushi and the rest of Parappa's crew. It's not just content issues. There's also business issues.
Scott Sublet here?
Han Shah, director of development, Dewey Tanner. How people pay for games has changed compared to 15 years ago. We're not sure that people would be willing to pay $50 for something with 5-6 stages.
Yeah, well, put more than 6 stages in your game.
As Joystick points out, today's rhythm-based games generally involve an ever-expanding library of music and universal animations, while Parappa was built on the original creations by the developer. Unlike something like Rock Band, for example, a Parappa game requires new music, animations, and a script. That means the time required to develop a Parappa on the same level of today's rhythm-based games could be an issue. I'm not sure a 20-hour Parappa experience would be that fun, Tanner noted. It would take us like 30 years to make. Still, Matsuura's comments should give Parappa fans hope for another adventure with the rapping pup, You Gotta Believe. That comes to us from Yahoo News, their gaming section.
I think the Sly series tried their hand at a rhythm-based game.
Oh, really?
In the first Sly.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
With Ms. Ruby.
And now we're going to be heading to the Misery Box.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I trust YouTube, and I shouldn't.
And it bites you.
But instead of kick punch, it was jump duck voodoo. No, zigzag voodoo. Zigzag voodoo.
This is interesting. I just saw the headline of it. It says Greek island protests inclusion in video game. The Greek island of Lemnos is up in arms over its inclusion in a video game. It says damages its peaceful reputation and presents a security threat by exposing its terrain in high definition. A newspaper reported on Monday.
That's funny.
We cannot fathom that our island, a place of peace and creation, will be turned into a scene for violence and battle, Lemnos Mayor Antonis Hatzidemiantis told Eleftheropia. I think that's the god of journalism. Daily. We reserve our legal rights.
What are you reading on the screen?
Our island's reputation, he said. Part of Arma 3 by award-winning Czech developer Bohemia Interactive includes a scenario where NATO special forces must take out an enemy factory, the Daily said. Some footage in the game, slated for release next summer, shows a Lemnos power plant, a hotel, and a town in the distance. Eleftheropia said, as the Aegean island lies a short distance from the Turkish mainland, there are also national security considerations at stake. Another official said, there are national reasons to keep our certain areas on the island secure, but in the game, they are shown in high definition, said Kostas Adamidis, who sounds just like the mayor, head of local municipal council. There could be possibly problems with national security, he said. Bohemia Interactive in 2001 won the Best PC Game Developer Award at London's ECTS exhibition, Europe's largest electronic entertainment fair.
I feel like that is barely a news story.
Yeah. That's why I thought it was funny. I'm like, who really? Nobody's ever heard of the game.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody's ever heard of the island.
Yeah.
So
what are you protecting? The high-definition version of your new... Like, can you see the off switch in the game?
What I would like to do is email the mayor of Lemnos and give him a link to Google Earth.
Exactly. Now, do you know that Google Earth started mapping the Amazon rivers?
Oh.
Down in South America.
I believe it.
They went
How did they get that car, though, that they use on the boat?
Good question. They stick it on the boat, and they went around to on bikes. They put the same camera on the back of bikes, and then they go around and interview. They try to like trek to villages. So there's actual
I feel like a bike would sway though.
No, you go slow enough, and then they go mountain bike up the trails, and you can take you can use Google Earth and go through the trails. Same thing. Go to these villages that nobody's ever been to before, and now they're on Google Earth.
Google
down the Amazon River. It's like pretty sweet. Is that your family's dog? What's on this?
No, this is from the story that we were looking at, too, where the headline is, Breaking the Ice, Team Teen Becomes First Girl in NHL Video Game.
Lady Gamers.
Guest loves playing hockey.
I want to preface this by saying that I watched this video, and I thought it was hilarious at how, like, I even was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, because it wasn't on the headline of their news page, but it was like a related story type thing. And I was like, oh, what's she the first girl to be in? And it's in a sports video game. And I want everyone just to imagine what you think a girl who's severely into hockey to the point to where she would contact EA and say, hey, how come there are no girls? Like, you can't create a girl NHL player.
Mm-hmm. And off the ice. But recently, 14-year-old Lexi Peters was playing an NHL video game when she wondered why there were no players that looked like her. But her curiosity didn't end there.
And that's when Lexi decided to write a letter to the video game company asking why there were no female characters, but now there are. After receiving the letter, EA Sports reversed course and added a character using Lexi's likeness.
And joining us now, the new star of the game, Lexi Peters. Good morning to you.
Hey, Lexi.
Good morning.
She has the look on her face, kind of like the kid, the I Like Turtles kid.
I Like Turtle Kid's Down Syndrome little sister. Like, this girl is staring at the ground.
Why am I here?
Hi. She's clearly terrified, but...
No, I don't think she's terrified. I honestly think it's disinterest, because watch.
Oh my gosh, are you sick or you don't look too excited to be up bright and early?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just had a cough.
Okay, all right.
So she's looking down, and it doesn't.
Is she looking at the monitor?
No, she's just looking down because she's just disinterested. Like, here's the other reason why I wanted to play this video.
Why did you want to play this video?
Because everybody always accuses video gamers. I think I'm about to bite myself.
I was going
to
say, where are you going with this?
I guess, accuses video gamers of being, like, kind of antisocial, yeah. but I think that she's a sports person as well. Like they showed a picture of her playing hockey.
Yeah.
And that, well, that was my point, is that she's a jock who happens to play jock video games.
Right.
And yet, if you got somebody who was super nerdy about NHL, they would have something to say.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
My little cousin is
all about
it. So
you took it upon yourself to write a letter because you're playing this game and you're like, look, I don't see any females playing hockey.
And you can't see it on the video, but it's like she
because this is radio.
I know. But I want to describe is that she does the half smiling, like while the chick's talking, it's clear that she doesn't get that she's on television right now. And she's like, why are they talking to me? She's probably up at 5 o'clock her time or something. It's stupid.
Yeah. Hockey's become so popular with girls and young women. Did you ever think that you'd get a response, much less be featured in?
And has hockey become so popular with girls and young women?
Yeah, no. What is this on?
No, it hasn't.
This is on Fox News.
Wow. Fox and some affiliate.
No, not really. I just thought that it really wouldn't go anywhere.
All right, so Lexi, tell us. So I go on the video game and I can choose my player and I can choose you as one of my players. I can be you on the ice.
Yeah.
So how does it work?
You have to go to create a player, and you can create your own player, and then you could put it on a team, and you can make your team also, and then play any team you want.
So Lexi, I'm Lexi now, right? I'm skating around. I can check someone into the boards. Can I check him? Can I do an illegal check on this guy right into the boards? Just slam him right into the glass?
Yeah, you can.
Is that what you would do?
Yeah.
I'm really good with kids.
So I'd love to
can
go
you
back
stop
and
this? there's nothing.
It's such a funny train wreck, though. It's not funny.
I don't know. It's not as much fun if you can't see her.
I guess you're
not
right. I'm
be
sorry.
Interested.
I apologize.
No, don't apologize. Stuff. You've been doing a great job.
No, but I slip up, I guess. here's another story. We still got emails. I don't know why I'm doing this, but
no,
PlayStation reveals Vita packaging and apps.
Final effinly.
This
for
just
Vita.
Happened 17 hours ago, but you're hearing it a week late. Has unveiled the packaging for its new Vita handheld console and detailed 10 apps that constitute its home screen, even though it won't launch outside of Japan until 2012. The first is a Welcome Park app that introduces owners to the Vita's features, and six of the rest are easily recognizable for PlayStation 3 users. The friends list and trophy collections coordinate across both consoles, and there's direct access to the PlayStation Store.
I hope it boots up faster than the PS3. You ever try to look at your trophies on the PS3?
It's horrible.
I lose interest. And just move. I'm going to go make a sandwich, and I come back. I'm like, why is the PlayStation still on? What is it booting up?
And this is why the terrorists hate us.
suburban rage.
Add to that, there's a music player, a photo gallery that links with the Vita's cameras, a web browser, and a group messaging service that works across Vita, PS3, and PSP. New for Vita is Party's voice chat app, which lets users talk to each other regardless of whatever other app or game is running, something that in its absence from PS3 has been the source of much ribbing from Xbox 360 owners who enjoy a similar feature.
Yeah,
is
agree.
That like Party Chat, where mm-hmm. you can talk to each other while you're playing other games?
Okay. You can only do it in games. Very obnoxious. On the
There's also Near, a location-based feature that with permission...
Far! Near!
Location-based feature that with permission can find other Vita players nearby. That's awesome.
So far, all this stuff is just latitude. I don't know. It's like my phone does all of these things.
Yeah.
I can talk to other people while I play any game on my phone.
Yeah, but still.
Fair enough. sound logic.
No, but I feel like they're taking a step in the right direction of saying,
"Oh no!"
Of saying, "Hey, this is you know how cell phones have been doing this for a long time. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, guess what? Portable gaming. You should also do it.
Yeah, no, I get all that, but this is as good as it gets. It's like it already does this. Show me something. Give me an app that is new.
Like, what do you want? I know I'm putting you on.
No,
the spot.
I know. Let's see. What would I expect from something like this? Does it go on to say anything about the download rate or how it can sync up with other players?
No.
How I can expect to interact with other people?
Like you want to avoid lag, kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
And I want to see what it's like to Is it real time? Like, I imagine some of that stuff is obvious. Let me think about what I'd expect a little more from that, from the app side of it.
As cool as it is, like, here's the other thing I think is so interesting, and maybe there's an aspect of this that I don't understand, but I think that video games...
Oh, here's what I want to do. I'm sorry. I want to be able to control my PS3 from my PS Vita.
Ooh.
That's what I want to be able to do.
You need a Wii U.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that they always, when it comes to social gaming, that they have a misunderstanding of who we are as people in that... Am I sitting in an airport terminal going, you know what I want to do? I want to find some other random person who happens to be playing the game that I'm playing, and I want to play with them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that maybe there are people who would like to do that. I still think they're a minority. And I think, and I do not mean their ethnicity. And I think that...
Only the Mexicans like the MMORPGs.
Right?
That's what the M is all for.
They're taking all of our characters and mounts.
MMORPG. The third M is for Mexican. Massively multiplayer Mexican online role-playing game.
Which is massive, by the way. Those people can make families. So inappropriate.
I'd like to say only one of us is being offensive right now.
It's not me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, where's Halloween?
I'm riding the wave. I'm riding the wave.
You set him up, I knock him down. KRTY.
But it's like that thing where I don't really think people really want to do that. Like, if I'm in an airport or wherever, like, the only reason I want to do that is if I have a brother or my kid.
That's
or
exactly
a friend.
I don't know what this idea is that I'm going to make a new friend playing with some pardon my French, asshole on the other side of the country. I have
whoa.
Exactly. I don't even know French. What did I just say?
I wish I could hold a straight face long enough to be really offended by that.
I would know you too well.
You said, buckle up, everybody. Here's a word you can hear on network television. Exactly.
Can you now? That's true. 10 years ago, you would have had me. Not now. Not even 5 years ago. I play Guild Wars. I'll play World of Warcraft. There was all sorts of things I was playing. And people want to know where you are. I like that aspect. Like, where are you in the world? Oh, I'm in Australia. Oh, that's neat. Okay, then I'm done. Yeah. Or sometimes I'll be social and ask if there's a lull in it. But then some people will be like, oh, you're in California. That's pretty cool. I can't believe you all turned down that Prop 8 thing. That was crazy. Like, really? You don't know me from Adam, and you're going to bring up one of the most sensitive subjects in our nation's history or in modern history. Or you get people that just tell you everything you're doing is wrong or yell at you. Inflame you. I don't understand why this is appealing to me. What I want to be able to do is force my friends to play the same games I'm playing so I can play with them.
Yeah.
Stupid That's Christian cool keeps thing. Sending me games and then I play him and he never plays with
like,
me.
Like, why not have that? Why not have a say you get Red Dead Redemption,
yeah,
right? And then you're like, hey, seriously, there's a lot of fun on this doing the massive multiplayer thing, right? I invite you to play. It gives you a 3-day trial
or something along those
lines where you could try it and decide if you like it. I don't like that's
a
free advertisement.
Idea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, like then it's
I think that their fear is that so many people that people can beat a game in 3 days or satiate their desire to play it in 3 days. That's why games like WoW can do that, where you can actually play for free now up to level 20, which is pretty high. I don't even think of my character.
Yeah, it's kind
of
scary how that's happening to me with DC Universe, where you told me before I got it, you're like, you do realize that is a game that will not end. I'm like, that's impossible.
No, it's indefinite. No, that's the whole point.
I will finish it.
No, it's grinderific.
Even if but here's the thing, though. Like, does it re-put me through the same missions?
No, it'll keep giving you more stuff. And just at the point, now it's already a year old, right? Mm-hmm. So there's mission cap level missions. So like stuff that once you've beat the main mission, there are other things that they've added into the game for you to do. And they'll continue to do that because these games have that where that you hit this glass ceiling and then what? Guild Wars, all of them. They then build, most of these games are only get good once you hit the level cap and then you have access to all your powers and everything you can do. That's when the game actually happens. Like life begins at 40. You heard that expression?
Yeah.
That's
level 40 is what they were
talking
about.
That's what they mean, yeah.
That's hilarious to me. Maybe let's finish the email so I can stop thinking about it.
Well, we can talk about the PS Vita.
No, what do you do? I don't, like, you're the one that's more into that. Like, I'm not. Like, I'm just like, meh, all right.
You know what I would wanted to see? I got it. Is that that I would have wanted the PS Hub to be, HUD, to be an avatar-based system. something
like
a little
Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so if this whole Nier thing is going to be interesting, that it actually be that it be an Avatar thing. Because I'll tell you the truth, what is cool is that thanks to my iPhone and Facebook, when people check in within about a 2 mile radius, my phone tells me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if people are down at the Arc Light seeing a movie, boom, it just shows. I'm like, oh, so it's such, and sometimes they're out of town visitors.
See, I
and
wish
I'm like,
that
oh, somebody's in town, somebody's in LA. I'm going to go drop them a line.
I really wish that there was like a way to let like a group of friends know where I was with my phone.
That's called latitude.
I can't like I'm not into, but you, it's like looped. Do we have to check in or just
no,
automatically
it's all the time.
Shows
I know where Kat is at all points in time.
Really?
Yeah, you're on it. I wish you would log on so I can see where you are. You could see when you go home.
See, that's what I'm saying is that I have to log on.
No, you just need to turn it on.
Oh.
It's off. I don't even know if you have it on your phone.
Oh,
this is the best app ever. Because
I would like that.
I turn it on when I'm home before Kat. She does the same thing. I just look at the screen, and the moment she starts to get into her car and come home, I can see her on the map coming towards me.
What?
Yeah.
Does this work for iPhone? You have an iPhone.
I have an iPhone. We'll figure it out after this. Yeah. It's free. Latitude. I don't think you have it.
I hope you listeners enjoy the times where Kevin and I forget we're doing a show. And just talk to each other.
How many of you have Latitude? Justin and I will not be joining you. But meet up with each other.
Do you think that would be weird if they knew? I wouldn't care if people knew where I was.
I would.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so funny that I do two podcasts, and each of my co-hosts have exactly the same opinions about those things.
I don't like most people knowing where I'm at. My aunt and uncle have access to my latitude, so they know where I'm at all the time. My uncle just sits on his computer. He don't listen to the show because he didn't know what a podcast is, but he tells me he'll email me days later and be like, so why were you in Santa Monica?
Just because he knows, because
like, he knows where
I am.
Or
do you think he's honestly going, oh, I wonder what Kevin's doing in Santa Monica?
There's a little bit of both. Yeah. There's a little bit. He's also like, eye in the sky. He loves Google Earth. And the stuff I was talking about, the Amazon. He literally spends hours, I'm not exaggerating, hours every day exploring the world on Google Earth.
That's awesome.
He'll zoom
though.
In to like Italy and then go down the coast and see all the sea towns.
Oh my gosh.
And then go over to Grand Canyon and follow roads that go off cliffs.
How much video games do you think we are going to play when we retire?
Oh God. Well, he don't
Can
have
you
kids.
You imagine?
My uncle
yeah,
don't
but
have
still,
kids.
Still, I'm saying like when you and I were, it's 20, 40, yeah, yeah. What? Where are we? We're 30, we're in our 30s,
yeah,
so we've got
30s.
Another 30 years of before we could technically retire.
Yeah, about that. So
I'd like to retire by 50.
Early 40s.
I'll probably retire
World
by
War
68.
II, right?
No, we'll we had that.
Oh, I thought it was every 40s.
You mean the second round? Like it resets after
World
9?
War II, 2. Yeah, like Final Fantasy 9, 2.
Like they don't... Well,
Modern
really
Warfare 2.
We can't count it again if it's the same countries, guys. So we're just going to call it again.
It's just a reboot.
2.2.
It's just a reboot. Nazis are so popular, they couldn't think of anything new.
There's no such thing as original ideas in wars.
Tanks are just elephants.
What?
The elephant in ancient war times was as dangerous as a tank. Because how do you stop an elephant?
Anti-aircraft.
I set him up.
Sometimes we make ourselves laugh.
Where do you have the anti-aircraft? What game do you play?
That I have anti-aircraft?
Yeah.
Stuff.
There, Modern Nation War. Oh, I'm forgetting the name. Nations was the name of it. It was a top-down RTS game when those were super popular right after StarCraft. And the point of the game was a little SimCity-ish at the same time. So you try to build up your city so that you would jump to the next tier of evolution. So everybody starts at like ancient times with huts, and then you go to Bronze Age and the Silver Age and then Modern Era.
They do that
with
Civilization, right?
Yeah, but this is war. So the point of the game is
it's always war.
It's all war. So the point is that you try, like StarCraft, you try to get up to the next tier before the other guy, and then magically all your units, if they're like horse and buggy, suddenly become cars.
So it's one battle. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's
one
battle, and you each start off, and you have to develop your technology and fight.
Exactly. So then suddenly magically, and if you're
like
in
that.
Battle, all your horses suddenly become tanks against this other guy's horses. You just mow them over. It's pretty great. Nations, I think is what it's called. Rise of the Nations, yeah. Hilarious. It's pretty great. Old game.
They just transform.
Everything magically changes over.
I don't know why, but that made me want to... I want to contact the person who developed Wing Commander, and I want to get him on this show.
Like, is that the one...
That's the one with Mark Hamill the actual and Kilrathi. Movies. Oh, my gosh.
Is that based in the Star Wars universe?
No, not at all. Not that I know of. I mean, maybe they like, a little bit, but not... like
It's not the franchise.
No. Like, it might... You know what I'm saying? Like, it might
I do.
Be
I understand
tribute.
The words you're saying.
But I feel like I'm talking way above you.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Did I felt it or did it?
Both. I don't know what's happening. So you see, Latitude uses your GPS.
Anti-aircraft.
That needs to be a t-shirt design. I can see it now. I beat elephants with anti-aircraft. Wait, why anti-aircraft? Elephants don't fly, bro. Air-to-ground missiles. Air-to-ground.
We hit them where you wouldn't expect. You would be expecting some kind of landmine situation with an elephant and their clunky feet. But you're like, oh, we don't have planes, so that anti-aircraft turret is useless.
Meanwhile, the elephant's like...
Until we point it at the ground, jackass.
Oh, that'll do it. Because the elephant's like, good thing I ain't in the sky. That looks like it's pretty messed up there. Hey, look, emails.
Hey, this is from Kevin. He had a name, and I can't remember it, so I'm a jerk for that. But he started talking about whale wars last week, and he said we did an episode with Kirill Sultanovich, and I guess I just started watching Whale Wars. I remember because I've watched the show since then. And I thought it was interesting that this guy is taking on the Japanese whaling fleet to try and stop whaling because it's supposed to be illegal. Like, Japan does whaling, and according to him, he claims that they claim that they're doing it for scientific research and that they also sell the meat for millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember this.
So,
and who is he? Prosecuted? I mean, has he been arrested?
Well, that's what this guy says. He goes, I don't know if you knew this guy, but the guy in charge of that all has been banned from numerous countries for basically attack/provoking various hunters, tribesmen, and innocent people just trying to get by with whatever they could food-wise. Now, in my defense, I did not know this, and what he said, because it's not just the Japanese fleet that he takes on in like the Antarctic winter.
Yeah.
He goes down there where they...
How is he taking them on?
I can't remember his name.
What do you mean taking them on? Like he's trying to stop the war?
Yes. He essentially finds what they call their factory ship.
I see. Okay.
And their harpooning ships, and he gets them to...
And he does like guerrilla saboteur.
Kind of, yeah. Well, like he has this thing where he'll get guys onto their ships, and then they're supposed to technically... return to port and prosecute them, and they drive across their bow, and they have these things that they call
sounds like a sweet video game
prop fowlers, where they have these thick ropes that they have little tiny rafts in the Antarctic Ocean.
Yeah.
They go in front of
these... Well, because if you fall in the water, you just become a big giant ice block.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden,
sort of
Mario hits you with a fireball and you melt.
You come right back out.
Yeah.
Yoshi.
So he goes, whale tours. I was so stupid. I typed whale tours.
Good gerb.
But he, I'm trying to find his name. Shepard. Sam Shepard? No. Is that right?
No, Sam Shepard.
I'm sorry?
Sam Shepard?
Yeah.
It might be right. Jack Shepard was from Stargate.
No, Jack Shepard's from Lost.
Oh, yeah. Then Sam Shepard's from Stargate.
Whoa, easy. I don't need you yelling at me. Computer screen.
Whoa.
There's adrenaline in the show. That's what it says. The Sea Shepherd, that's what is one of the boats. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic, so focus, Justin.
That guy just jumped off a helicopter.
Yeah, that's adrenaline happening. It's so that he can use degree antiperspirant.
Are you serious? Did I just fall for that?
Yeah.
Damn it.
So what happened, it's Bear Grylls. That's how he gets off on his, he always does a cool leap out of a helicopter every time he gets dropped off on Man vs. Wild.
That is a show? It's not just something funny The Office made up? Did I get you?
Yeah.
I have hemorrhoids.
Anti-aircraft humor. So anyway, he tries to mess up their operation so they can't get any whales. And on this last season that I just watched is that Japan finally gave in because he's costing them millions of dollars. And so they finally said, we're going to stop whaling. Like, we give up. We're going to stop our research until this guy leaves us alone. Now, what they talk about and allude to in the show is that they also have other missions where they're around the Galapagos Islands and the other times of
like
year.
Like, you can go to other guys with X, and they get, like, side missions with the explanation marks. Yes. This is a game.
Everything is a game. So, what this guy's
point... This is a game.
What this guy's point is that he say, I guess during those other missions, that he gets in the way of, like, tribes people that are just trying to feed himself. Which I find surprising, but... I don't have the right ammo.
Really?
To go after you, Kevin. That was a strong tone that made me just be quiet. I said this basically.
I am old enough to be your father.
This guy is basically attacking other nations and doesn't even know why they hunt these animals. For instance, the whole thing on Whale Wars, Japan doesn't whale because we think it's fun or hilarious, but we do it because we need it for most of our products. As a nation, we don't even eat the meat, and if we want to buy, it is extremely expensive, and the meat isn't even the great tasting. Think of fish jerky, just with a more rustic, older taste. And when the guys from these ships throw the stink bombs, they basically kill the whale instantly with that and ruin the use of the whale, meaning Japan is unable to provide some of the necessary products we need. So yeah, sorry I got all serious there. I just wanted to kindly inform you guys about the truth behind Whale Wars was and didn't mean to bash on any of your personal opinions.
Well, because whales can produce, tell me if I'm way out of line here, but the flubber?
Fairy dust.
Can be a supplement to oil. A lot of the things found in whale fat.
Oh, they don't call it flubber there. They call it blubber.
They don't call it flubber?
I think flubber may be Japanese for blubber. I don't know.
You mean if it's not this green bouncy stuff that can make your car fly?
No.
Harry
but it
Anderson.
Makes great lipstick.
So then I propose we mass produce whales and put them in whaling farms so that's a renewable resource there. Whale it up.
It's interesting. Well, that's the thing that I think is quasi missing from the show is that they do show.
Wait, weren't whales dinosaurs? This is blowing my mind.
Uh-huh.
That's why they can, just like dinosaurs made oil, that's why whales can make
oil. Any life that dies and sits for millions of years. I mean, the reason dinosaurs made oil is because they've been dead forever.
So why do whales that only have been dead a few hours make oil?
It's not oil in the sense of petroleum. Uh-huh. I think it's oil from the fat. Like, I could take the fat off of my gut and turn
since
it into
it's so
oil.
Many, so much.
It's a vast amount. Yeah,
it like grows a lot.
An oil farm
for
in that sense.
You know what I'm talking about? How they used to be dinosaurs? You've seen their hands, right? They have like hands.
Yeah. But only like 3 or 4 fingers like Mickey.
It's sad.
Yeah.
They don't need a bunch. They're whales.
Well, that's why they died off. I think, like, I don't know. You're not bashing on my personal opinions. What I was going to say is that on the show, they show, like, Japanese news clips where the Japanese are saying, these crazy people are throwing stuff at us essentially saying what he's saying. But then on our end of the show, like, it's going, like, these guys are creating excuses for saying, this is how we're going to kill whales. And then, am I honest to goodness opinion of the show is that it's just a bunch of hippies who need something to do.
Yeah.
And another reason why terrorists
trust fund babies.
Yeah. No, they're not even that. They're just poor, you know, patchouli oil wearing, you know, hippies that go out in the ocean and they screw up other people's well-being for the sake of saving whales. And to me, it's the hypocritical thing of, oh, we're going to fight against whales, but nobody's ever taking a stance on black widow spiders.
You know what I mean?
Nobody's like, well, we need those. You know
right,
I mean?
Right.
Because they don't have a personality. They don't seem. And what this guy's whole point is that. And I agree with him, I think, on this level, too, is that he's saying that whales are intelligent. It is unfair for us to attack them because he believes that they're as intelligent as humans only because they live in the ocean. Like, they communicate, they have family structure, they have social structure. Like, it's inhumane for us to hunt them. That it's, in a sense, it's only humane to hunt things that can only think as far as screw, eat, and sleep. Mm. That's it. We should eat those things. But things that are like, I love my babies...
Yeah.
Beyond just wanting to continue my life stream.
Love my babies. That's an inferred application.
Exactly.
Of
there's
their
no
actions.
Way to prove it. Like, there's another, almost on par with what you were talking about last week with Human Centipede, is that there's called The Cove. There's a documentary.
Yeah.
Where these people, the Japanese are slaughtering dolphins and then also catching them to sell to like places like SeaWorld. And there's a guy who trained Flipper and he was super depressed because he's like, he watched a dolphin in his. opinion commit suicide. One of the flippers committed suicide because he's like, when I work closely with his animals, you start to see them just get more and more depressed
from
being in captivity. Well,
we've seen that. We've seen the angst of a domesticated animal.
Right, Free Willy.
Oh, or that awesome movie, Happy Feet. And I can't believe they've waited so long to produce a sequel to the artistic genius.
Which has nothing to do with the first one.
Thank God. I don't know. That first movie was so terrible.
We're penguins singing pop songs.
That movie made no sense. The first Happy Feet was just about the most. What was Al David's Al Davis's movie? What's that? You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Al Gore. What was his movie? Davis. The guy who owned the Raiders and created the NFL.
And the internet.
And the internet. Al Gore.
And love the electric car. And global warming.
Yeah, that guy.
He's been busy.
Happy Feet has less accuracy
than Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah.
We talked about Whale Wars now. On another note,
I was going to say that would make a good video game. Yeah. And as would coyotes. I've always thought that they would make a really good source for
smuggling people across the border.
Yeah, there's so much going into it. Have you seen any of the reports on this? If anything, it would make an excellent movie because there's so much conflict within it. The whole, you got to get not the guys that do it in the trucks and stuff, but the guys that actually go through the desert and sneak through because you have so many different enemies. You have
most of them.
Yeah, what's that?
Most of them sneak through the desert.
Yeah, it's not in trucks.
In my
and stuff.
Understanding,
right?
Yeah.
So you got to go through the desert. You got to find ways to cover your tracks while you're there. It's super hot.
One of the things I thought was interesting was that they thought it through enough to where they go as far as they go to the northern part of the U.S. to drop people off because there isn't as much of a concern about it because they're far away from
there's
the border.
No Canadians.
So like Kansas is the real southern border of the United States of America as far as illegal immigration.
There's just
is
all
concerned.
These people. That's fascinating. Well, then in addition to the United States standing on the other side watching with all their high-tech gadgetry, with lasers and infrared and all that stuff and stopping people and then dropping them back and be like, start over again, game over. But then drug smugglers come up the same path. So whatever path that a coyote uses, they'll be there. And then to make things even worse, there'll be people that are just perched on the same paths waiting for them because they know people use these. So they'll just ambush them like pirates and take all the money.
And then you add the Minutemen aspect of these rednecks with guns that...
Oh, I didn't know this one.
You know about
that? Oh, they're
not
like
official.
Vigilantes?
They're vigilantes that take it upon themselves to protect the American border.
On the American side.
And they're armed. Like, they're armed to a freaking T with night vision goggles and stuff. And they go out and they try and catch people and then they turn them in.
I would play this game.
Yeah.
And what a great co-op game you could play. Like a versus. You can either be Mexican, you could be a coyote, you could be your Hicks guy.
The best part about this is that you don't mean to be racist. Like, that's the only thing that makes it safe, is that you're not saying this to be racist at all. You're like, this is just a fun conflict.
No. I think it'd be both. I think it'd be educational and real. And like, there's just so much.
It could help you define your opinions on immigration.
Exactly. Yeah. Why not allow a game? It's like that game that I looked up on Droid a little while ago, Phone Story. I don't know if we talked about it fully on the show. It made some headlines because it was removed from, I talked about it on the Facebook page, it was removed from the iPhone store, from the App Store, because it portrayed children being abused. And the whole point, it's like four very silly, simple mini games that describe the cycle of how a phone is created. And the first step that they display is these kids
like a telephone,
like a cell phone, iPhone. And so then the first stage, you operate two different armed guards across a bay of children in a little ditch, digging for minerals that are necessary for phones,
like silicon and something.
And if they stop, you have to drag your armed guard over there and he'll yell at the kid and he'll keep going. And that's one of the reasons why
it's a sweatshop.
They're describing a sweatshop. Then it goes to a Chinese worker place, the second level, where they're assembling the phones, and you have to move a trampoline around to stop them from jumping out the windows to commit suicide. And you have to save a certain amount.
So it's essentially a politically motivated activist type
game.
Exactly.
And it's all narrated by the phone. The phone, like a little face, like Nick Jr.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. The phone has a face and it talks to you. And he says, this is how I was created. This is how this phone got into
your hand. This piece of electronic that you think, to you, it's just a Christmas present.
Right.
is a well-being and a depressing part of a culture in China.
And so then the third level is in the United States. They show all these, you know, kids with mohawks and stuff running up to the store to buy it, and you have to fling the iPhones to them as fast as you can. And it makes this point about how you're going to buy this thing and it's going to be irrelevant in 6 weeks or a month, and you're going to buy it again and continue pushing the process. But the reason why I brought all this up was the fourth and final stage, where it shows the recycling of these gets sent out to third world countries, where they break this stuff down into all of its original components to be recycled to be created into new cell phones. But to do that, they don't have the same sort of FCC. No, the that's the federal
FDA.
The EPA. Laws about
environment.
Yeah.
Environmental Protection Agency.
You know, they'll melt the glass, they'll melt the plastic. That, of course, creates toxic fumes, and all the people that are working on this die very quickly because they're melting toxins right in front of their face, and their job is to break apart a phone as best as they can and melt it down to usable parts. It's killing, and it all to serve us in the first world to make these really sweet phones. So ever since playing that game, I've decided to never get another cell phone.
So you're getting a Vita?
Yeah, well, I'll get a Vita.
Yeah, right.
I'm not stupid. But I'm going to keep my PlayStation.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
On another note, I hope you guys are getting excited for Epictober/November because of the slew of amazing new games such as Uncharted 3 and Skyrim. So I'm expecting some awesome new podcasts going more in depth with topics discussing gaming around the holiday seasons.
Don't we talk about games all the time on the show?
Yeah, I think what kind of some of the listeners are hinting at is that, like what we talked about last week, where it's like, we don't have our thumb on the finger of the pulse of, that's an old bit of ours, yours really, but
that's yours.
Thumb on the finger of the pulse of video gaming, and that we talk about it, and it's a
yeah,
niche.
We stay up on what's new and stuff and what's happening. Like E3 happened, we busted out some good stuff.
We don't pretend to like Skyrim. I don't even know what it is, to be honest,
yeah,
because I'm so in love with Uncharted. I don't have time for a mistress. On a second note towards K2, that's right, he calls UK too, I think. I think that's what he called himself.
Yeah.
But anyway, and Justin, since he seems to be into DC Universe Online right now, I've been hearing news about some new MROP game called Secret World. Do you guys know anything about this? I haven't seen much, but supposedly it's supposed to change the whole MROP idea, and wanted to see if you guys could give more insight if you knew. And now specifically towards Kevin 2, here Tell has it that Guild Wars 2 is going to be coming out around May in 2012, coming from my trusted source.
I have not seen any release. They still have yet to release the 8th profession on that game, so unless they have in the past 48 hours.
I thought they did.
The 8th profession?
Yeah, you said it was like an engineer or...
That was the 7th.
Oh.
The 8th profession, everybody was pretty sure would be a mesmer. And then at PAX and stuff, they started to hit
it. I was almost positive it was going to be a mesmer.
You don't know what you're saying. I'm going to go double check that. But
what was the rest
game
you
wants
say?
To know?
Secret World.
Secret World. I'll look and see. Well, let's see if they've got a Guild Wars 2 release date. I have not heard of that, and that is a franchise that I stay very close to. Release date. Look at that. Tomorrow. I got to go.
Is that really what it said? Tomorrow?
No.
Oh. Here's another. I'll do that while you're looking at that. This is another an email coming from Alex. Says, hey, Kevin and Josh. LOL, JK again. Since I said that once before about 3 months ago, I still remember when you read that email. Anyway, on to the question. I'm wanting to get DC Universe Online before it becomes free to play so I can get Legendary, but I don't know if I will like it. Can you please review on the show? That would be great. Thanks, Japtob. Jump and press the circle button. Oh, I thought that was his name, Japtob. When I pre-read I read it on the show.
I was right there with you.
I'm an idiot. He sent in a second email. Hey, it's me again. Last email, I forgot to say Kevin and Justin. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. Jump presses. Come on. I've talked about it a lot on the show. Not that I'm criticizing your email, but I really do enjoy it. I think that I need Kevin's expertise in the MROP game genre and everything. But in my opinion, like as somebody who doesn't play a lot of MROP games, I really like it. Like it's fun to me, and I think it has everything to do with the fact that it's in a superhero world. So what I would feel comfortable saying is, if you are a huge fan of comic books, and even a bigger fan of DC Universe, even if you're kind of a fan of the DC Universe, then definitely it's worth it. Like if you're a fan of that area, like if you're more of like, I only like Marvel, I don't know that I would get into it, to be honest with you.
Interesting. Why?
Just because, like, I've always been such a Marvel fan, even as a kid. Like, I lean more towards Marvel than I ever did Superman. Like, I like the Superman movies, but that was about it for me. I was all about Iron Man, Spider-Man as a kid growing up. Incredible Hulk was the only other really thing that I kind of deviated from. I never really was into Batman or anything like that. And in this game, if it wasn't for my love for Green Lantern, I don't know that I would be as into this game as I am. Like, there's just, I don't know what it is, but... If you like the idea of creating your own superhero and existing within a DC universe, because what is that game? It's Heroes, Villains, or Champions Online? Are those the
Champions
two,
Online?
Those
yeah.
are two different games, right?
They are two different. Heroes and Villains is previous gen.
Because yours, the Guild Wars people have a game that's similar to this.
That's the same publisher did Heroes, did both those.
Yeah.
And Champions Online was originally going to be Marvel Online because Heroes and Villains got sued by Marvel for copyright infringement, which is funny. DC didn't jump in on that. And so they dissolved the
We invented superheroes.
Yeah, exactly. Out of court, they settled, and then they decided they'd work on a game together. Halfway through development, they go, oh, this is not going to work. Marvel backed out, and the developers got Champions, their property, because Champions is the old school Dungeons and Dragons role-playing, but with superheroes. And so that's now how you have Champions. And it suffered. It suffered big time.
It's not fun.
I can see why if the game looks mechanically how it was going to look if it was going to be a Marvel game, I get why Marvel backed out. Because it doesn't have... The concept for the DCU is much better. Like this idea, it creates more room for all these heroes. Champions Online, I mean, the point of Champions is the ability just to create a hero at whim anyway. So you don't need this backstory that fits within the universe. But it's also... It's also pretty dull, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. They attempt to create the illusion of solving a mystery, but you're so clearly immersed in a world that there are a million other things going on. Why would you care about this, literally? Like, why are there cops here, but not down the street where there's a giant monster destroying the town? Like, I mean, it's literally happening in the same space. Yeah. It's poorly executed, and it's really redundant. I mean, it is the most... classic MMORPG of go kill 8 things, come back and talk to me. And then you wait for this thing to spawn and then kill the thing. And if you're not doing it with the other guy, you don't get credit. I mean, it's just they didn't do any innovation within that game at all.
In their defense, I haven't played the PvP world, which I think I've talked about on the show too, is that maybe that adds an element of fun to it that makes it a little bit more like simulator-ish as a superhero because of a supervillain who could just attack you randomly and have an effect on what you're trying to do. But there is a lot of what you just described still in DC Universe that, like, if you're looking at this game and you're like, you know what, I like to play superhero games, then if you haven't played Arkham Asylum, sorry, if you haven't played Arkham Asylum, then get that.
Yeah.
Or just wait it out until Arkham City comes.
But what if I don't like Batman? What if I prefer a different type of hero?
I don't know what to tell you, to be honest, because... It is redundant in that aspect, in that there is go here, beat up this guy, beat up 8 of these guys, and then go. But the only thing that really is kind of keeping me going, I'm kind of psychoanalyzing myself as I'm saying this, is that it's kind of like what we talked about with your wife and Guild Wars, is that this idea of checklists, that, oh, now there's a new job. And I'm so obsessed with processes and connecting those dots and checking things off that appeals to that part of my personality, so that's what I like about it. But as far as like a story goes or being invested in a narrative, no.
Yeah.
There was none of that. None of that. Like anything you do, you kind of fill in your own head.
You just get to, and that's so true of so many games. But it's just about getting to experience something that you really enjoy. But it's not about the story. It's not about the game.
And a part of the reason why I might enjoy it is because I've never played an MROP before this one. That might be also that aspect is new to me.
When Guild Wars 2 comes out, which has no release date, whatever your source was in that previous email, that's not true. There's tons of rumors. Don't believe everything.
You didn't even see something on the internet saying what he said?
No, nothing.
What if he has a source on the inside? We don't know his
source. Then tell us. Because there's nothing. There's
have
all
your source
sorts of
email.
Rumors. There are literally two rumors flying around that it will be November 2nd, 2011 and November 2nd, 2010. So clearly the rumor mill is not very creative.
One of them still could be true.
What was that other? What was the other title he wanted to know about?
Oh, Secret World?
Secret World, that was it. I had Super Lotto. That wasn't it. When Guild Wars 2 comes out, though, I won't be able to convince you to buy the game without testing it, but I do want you to create a character on my account and play it for a little bit, because I think if the game executes in the way in which they're describing, by then you'll be pretty familiar with the MRUB genre. The only difference will be is that it will be fantasy-driven as opposed to superhero-driven. Yeah. But they will have like some modern machines in it. They're going to have guys that carry... There's an engineer. So they have guns, they have tanks, they have that kind of thing. But it's all set in a more Lord of the Rings kind of universe with a little more technology.
I'm curious to see what happens. I'm talking secret about myself like weapons? I'm not myself. Secret world. And I'm curious to see what happens like when Uncharted and Arkham City and all these other games that I'm... Like, I already looked at the release date when I was looking at my wish list of Revelations and even the Metal Gear. Like, I still haven't finished Metal Gear Solid 4. And I was like, oh, that was fun. I was kind of enjoying that. I was plugging along. I think I was getting close to the end. But there is also... for someone who likes to finish a game and then sell it and move on, there's a nice kind of comfort that I found in DC Universe Online in that... Well, I'm going to get a lot of bang out of my buck here.
Absolutely. I was going to say the same thing. You may never need to buy another game again. Yeah. I still play Guild Wars.
I would. That would kind of bum me out a little bit. I don't know. But there's a little bit of me that wants to see... I want to see where things are going to go. Like, if... Honest to God, if I... Like, say you had played the game, like you played Guild Wars, right? And you turn your mic on.
Back. Turn it off.
Note to self. Don't get switches.
I touched this. I'm going to turn it.
I want to buy $400 microphone so bad. But anyway. I know, right? What I was going to say is that if you had played the game, you're like, here's what happens with your character, I would probably check out. There's a part of me that's like, if I get to be a part of the Justice League, that would be so cool.
I get that. You know, when Christian introduced me to Guild Wars, I was like, but World of Warcraft is in the Warcraft universe, which was a game we had been playing for a long time. And I was like, but that looks...
Isn't you and your brother? Or you
Christian and I. Because we had played Warcraft 3 for far too long and got way into the different tactics. I cared about the mythos, the story. I played
Warcraft is like StarCraft, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Same guys, but set in a fantasy universe.
Set in space.
Exactly. Yeah, you're getting it. You're still doing bits? I can't tell.
Anti-aircraft elephant.
There it is. I can just see it. It's the best t-shirt ever. And so he was like, well, Guild Wars will have its own mythos, and you'll get into this as well. And I was like, man, that's kind of a stupid answer. But the truth, it's happened. And now 5 years down the line, I care very much about the Or and the Char and the Asura.
I really need to get these people on. I think this is as close to Brent Spiner as I could get for you, if I could get these people on this show.
Yes.
Because you love this game. Like, I've never seen you talk so passionately, other than maybe Portal. Like, there's never been a game that you like. And, when you talk about this Guild Wars 2 and the things you've read about it, you're like, they're going to revolutionize.
They are going to revolutionize. The thing is, Portal 2 is like, I get to hang out with the cool guys for a few days.
Yeah.
And I still love Portal 2 and probably play it once or two more times before Portal 3 comes out. But Guild Wars, they're like my family. They're my peoples. I know all about those peoples, and we hang out together.
And the only thing that Red Dead does to steal away from Guild Wars is that Western atmosphere. Is that
I don't know. Well, Red Dead ended. That was the problem. If there was a Red Dead MMORPG, I probably would play it.
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying, like playing the massive.
Oh, I do more of that. But that's just fun. That's like shooter multiple. I feel like
there's no
consequence.
It's chewing.
Yeah, we're going out. We're a gang. We get to do this thing. What are the tactics for conquering it? That's more interesting to me than a first person shooter. Like, how am I going to get you before? How are we going to play tag with an avatar? But this is like there's tactics and that sort of thing. But with Guild Wars and what. The other thing that's exciting about them in Guild Wars 2 is that they've completely eliminated all the stereotypes within the genre. So instead, name some fantasy races that you would see in fantasy. Like, if you're going to be a human, they have humans, but what's somebody else
you could
be? A troll.
Let's see, a giant.
Oh, yeah, okay.
A wizard.
Oh, a wizard, okay. Different than a human.
And a fantasy world. I want to say like kings and queens, like medieval is what I think of when I think fantasy.
Orcs, elves, dwarves, those sort of guys. You cannot play as any of those. dragons. You cannot play as any of those except for humans. They're the only ones you can...
In Guild Wars 2?
And they invented... Yeah, you can only play as humans in the first one. But they invented whole new archetypes within it. They have these little techno-assurans. They have these plant-like mythical creatures called the Sylvian. They have the Char, which are these beast cat things, the Norn.
The combat like what... I want to say it was Brandon described, where he said that you watch the... You push the button and then you watch them do the attack?
Yes, okay. It does. I think I haven't seen a lot of the gameplay, but it's a lot. It's typical in that.
No,
in
Guild Wars.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the gameplay of Guild Wars 2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In the first Guild Wars, it's stacking combos and you build the combos, but it's a little like Magic the Gathering, mm-hmm. in that you have a giant. I have a list of about 80 different spells that I can use, but I can only equip 8 of them at a time. So you got to choose what's going to work for the environment that you're in, who you're playing with, and what you're fighting against.
Because I think part of what makes me like DC Universe Online so much, mm-hmm. is that it is similar to an action game, in that like I'm pressing, even though it's just a lot of square.
B.
I feel like I'm doing that.
But see, like, within Guild Wars, you have a whole crew of people with you, and you work together as a team. I do not. That game.
Why? I don't understand what about me that makes me not like that. Like, as soon as you say crew, I think Final Fantasy, I'm like, I'm out.
No. You're all, it's like having 8 other people. You can either play with 8 other people.
Oh, your crew is people.
Is are the people. Or you play with, it's not like you play as one guy.
Yeah.
But you have these other people with you, and you can tell them what to do. Or you can just let them do their thing, and they'll all do their own spells. You can equip their spells. So it's a little like collecting. You got to collect go find the really good skills to add to your repertoire. And then the other thing that's exciting about it is that the abilities that people have, like you said, wizard. What are some other powers that someone could be, like a wizard?
In a fantasy world.
Yeah, in a fantasy world.
Elemental.
Yeah, an elementalist. That's unique to Guild Wars.
Well, they have it in DC Universe Online, too. You can have fire. Or
right,
you could do elemental manipulation as one of your superpowers.
Got it.
Is that, am I not saying what you're saying?
No, that's it. Yeah, okay, they have an elementalist, which controls all 4. So that's their wizard. Typically in the fantasy genre is like you have arcane power, and then you have like a dead power or something. So they, yeah.
Since we're talking about DC Universe, I'm trying to tie it in too, is that, am I right in saying that DC Universe Online is a good entry-level MROP game to see, is this a genre for you? Because you've seen like the character creation, you've seen me play it a little bit.
Once it becomes free-to-play, I would say yes, because that's the deal-breaker.
And that's, I want to say this too, it's a heavy investment in that you pay $60, and different from any other video game out there, once you pay that $60 and you activate the account, that game is useless.
Well,
you cannot sell it back. The only thing you could do, and I almost bought one. I almost bought my copy on eBay, and I'm so glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Because when I was going to... Oh, that's right. It's going to change when it goes free to play.
Yeah.
But my point was is that it says a great way to replace a damaged disc. And I was like, well, who would just need to replace a damaged disc? Like, I didn't make the connection until my wife bought a copy that was their last copy. And what they did was they left the activation code out on the display.
Yeah,
and so somebody saw it and activated it. And then now that made my copy useless to them, so I had to go back and get another one.
Didn't she also buy you an Xbox game when you had just gotten an Xbox 360?
Yeah, she's not very good at this, but she loves me.
But
she's
knew
a
you wanted
mom.
This. So I would say it's a pretty good game to get into. I would claim the Guild Wars, the first Guild Wars, is a much better portal into that universe, because you buy it, and if you don't like it, you're out maybe $20, and it's on the PC. And,
oh, it is. It's a third the price.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you can get all, depending on where you look and what you spend on the, like if you buy the sales and things and what campaigns you buy, you can get the whole thing. Like over the summer and on Steam, I think you could have gotten the entire package for $20.
Oh, wow.
And that's, you know, I've dropped a ton of money on those games.
Let's see. We got to wrap it up. Do you already have something you
want to say? Secret World. Are we done?
Yeah.
Where did this hour go? Secret World, this game, if I'm not mistaken, they've been hinting at this one for a while. It looks pretty exciting. Do you know anything about this? I probably won't play it, but it's fascinating with the different genres that people are tapping into to create not only games in general, but then this MMORPG of like, you had the fantasy, it was almost exclusively fantasy, now you have these superheroes, and Secret World is set in like mythological modern day, so there are vampires, there's Egyptian mummies, it's that kind of thing. You can be a secret spy, from what I'm telling. It looks like it's supposed to be a little more adventure based than spy. It's like a spy thing is what it looks like to me. I'm down.
That's a cool idea. I like it.
Yeah, I'd play it.
Well, then to finish, we can hear.
Do
some
we have
things.
More emails?
No, we finished all the emails. We could talk about an edgy version of Mafia Wars 2. Edgy crime play is coming, or the exclusive games for the PlayStation Network.
Ooh, yeah, let's hear that.
What else do we have? The Xbox dashboard update. Enrique Iglesias spices up Zynga Cityville.
Tell us about the export dashboard update.
On November 15th at E3 this year, amid massive stage show by Microsoft, one of the key points that it continually pushed was its Xbox dashboard and the coming changes to it. We've already seen an upgrade to the ESPN app, and Hulu Plus is firmly entrenched as well. But there's plenty more to come, including new search features, more social network integration, and more TV options.
Boo.
We know all that
is coming.
Yeah,
that was all boring.
The only question is when. According to an internal memo circulating through PayPal and obtained by Kotaku, the next upgrade for the dashboard will hit consoles on November 15th, the 10th anniversary of the release of the original Xbox.
Huh.
PayPal is already integrated into the Xbox payment system and has been since May, but the new update should highlight the partnership a bit more and offer more comprehensive payment options. As for the rest of the update, much of it will be dependent on the ongoing negotiations between Microsoft and several cable providers. If they can come to terms with the Xbox 360, may be able to replace your cable box.
Wow. Yeah, I was really surprised that they did at E3 spend a lot of time pushing the fact that it was going to be a big television hub. And I thought, who cares?
Yeah.
I get it. Maybe next gen, if you can tell me I can get, if I can go to Comcast and they're like, well, do you want the standard box? Do you want a satellite box? Do you want the Xbox?
Or do you have an Xbox?
Yeah, exactly. I'll take the Xbox and then I can play games at the same time as, you know. But
you still have to pay for the service.
Yeah,
it's not like it's going to save you money.
Exactly. I don't really get it. I don't know. It's all, why now? It just seems very un-Xbox.
I'm a humongous fan of Netflix. Always have been. And for whatever reason, within the past couple weeks, I started thinking, you know, with my TiVo, which is kind of the same thing. With the TiVo, they have Hulu Plus, they have Amazon Instant, they have Blockbuster On Demand. And so, like, with movie rentals, I could get what I want when I want it. Mm-hmm. The only thing keeping me with Netflix is that there are more, less popular independent movies and TV series that I can't get. But I'm like, well, would it save me money? Like, I'm trying to think. I'm going to try to start to do the math to go, well, what if I just bought those things on, say, iTunes or on Amazon Instant and, you know, watch the TV shows that way? Oh, which, by the way, we didn't talk about Firefly. I want to talk about Firefly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we'll have to do that next
with you. But because I just finished the series.
So oh, wow. And the movie?
Yes, I've already seen that.
What I assume is happening is that somebody in Microsoft said, okay, based on what we can see Netflix is doing and where the markets are going, the money is on integrating cable into your system.
Yes.
And I get that.
That
all makes sense.
That's killing Netflix to a certain degree right now.
But
and they just changed their pricing where they're charging more for less.
Right, which is dumb. And Blockbuster already took a dive. But you're Xbox and you're Microsoft. So why not integrate a new brand recognition into it? Like, that's the thing.
Like, HD Net, is that kind of what you're saying? Like, where it's your own network?
Yeah, I would say just create a new brand, like, within the Xbox. Stop saying that my Xbox is going to play television, because, and me as a gamer, I don't care what TV is doing. Exactly. I want my Xbox to be a kicking gaming machine.
Oh.
So if you want it to suddenly be this cable-ready device as well, call that component of it something else. Don't call that my Xbox.
So what you're saying is that the mistake that they're making is that they're trying to appeal to, in a sense, non-gamers.
Yeah.
Because that's what
I think the Xbox is the most gamer
yes.
friendly.
Because
it's a console for gamers.
A lot of people bought the PlayStation 3 because it was a Blu-ray player that played video games.
Now that my information could be out of date because of the Kinect, and that really piqued a lot of people's interest last year around Christmas. You saw it was the most sought after. Toy of the year was the Kinect, much like the Wii was for earlier years. The Move was not.
The article continues to talk about that. It says, if that isn't your thing, then the Kinect controls will feature an update. The search features will be massive upgrade, and the whole system will receive a shiny new look. Microsoft has yet to confirm the release date, and the PayPal memo isn't really exact exactly rock solid proof, but it makes sense to release the update on the 10th anniversary. Oh, I thought it was going to talk more about the Kinect being a cool thing, but it didn't.
Yeah, the Kinect is also very clunky. You haven't spent a lot of time with it. And it's this whole idea of using your living room to be your controller, it's difficult because our living rooms aren't built for that.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a coffee table,
you're screwed.
You got to have light for it, that kind of thing.
And not everybody lives in a New York loft.
Exactly. And frankly, the technology isn't to a place yet where it can always recognize my hand and my face. It gets it wrong all the time. And I'll tell you what, Xbox, I have not changed my looks.
Yeah, me neither.
The same every day.
I haven't turned on my Xbox in months.
Oh, really?
Maybe even a year. I should have marked that down because
that'd be funny.
The last time I turned my Xbox on was for your Left 4 Dead game that you got me for my birthday. That would have been February.
Yeah.
Was the last time I turned it on. The only time it's been turned on after that was that because I took my PlayStation with me on the road and my wife needed something to play movies for my kid.
Nice.
That's it. Because we don't have a Blu-ray player, which we should get one now that I think about it. But anyway, on a similar note, PlayStation Home gets an update today ahead of relaunch. Oh. They will be getting a major relaunch in the year. This is back on September 29th, so you guys, this is probably a little late. But for those of you who didn't know, ignoring the PlayStation Network's interactive social environment until that happens, a new update will roll out today, according to the official PlayStation blog. The 1.55 update will apparently change up the startup environment for home users, improving the startup flow. There will also be some new updates to the wardrobe and furniture browsers, as well as the ability to manually clear out PlayStation Home cache. Have you used the PlayStation Home? I haven't.
I went in. I was unimpressed. I was very unimpressed. It's an avatar-based system where all the other avatars are invisible. You can't see anybody. So you spend all this time creating a character.
Like they look, you can't see even yours?
All you see is your character, and then there are silhouettes of the other characters with their names above them. Unless I was doing something wrong, I was like,
take the time to download the actual.
Yeah, the actual avatar. I'm like, the whole point of avatars is so I can see, I can show people what I've created. They can't see it.
Oh, this came up in any way. I know, I gotta go wrap it up. I'll do this last one, but. Video game releases, Dark Souls, Rage, Just Dance 3, the purgatorily difficult Dark Souls, post-apocalyptic shooter, Rage, and lighthearted party game, Just Dance 3, are among a crop of new games out the week of October 2nd through 8th. Medieval fantasy adventure, this is Dark Souls, in which every mistake is punished and players' fortitude is under constant examination. Online mode allows participants to invade each other's games for good or evil purposes. High expectations due to predecessor Demon Souls. Rage, first in a new franchise from industry giants ID Software, Wolfenstein, Doom, Quake.
This time
merging state-of-the-art graphics, weapon wielding, and road racing on a devastated future Earth.
Yeah, somebody's been talking about that.
Euphoria, NBA 2K12, NBA Jam on Fire Edition, Spider-Man Edge of Time. Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man 29 must team up across time to defeat Walker Sloane's dictatorial empire and monstrous supervillain Anti-Venom.
Ooh,
that sounds interesting to me.
That's like what was the game you had played last year? The Spider-Man game?
Edge of Time. It's the sequel to that.
Oh, got it, yeah. And they're like, Shatter of Dissidence.
Shattered Dimensions?
Yeah, that's it. Spider-Man's got four different games. .com.
Well, there you go. That was our show. That was fun, right? We did a good job.
Jesus, so long. These shows are so long.
I thought you said it flew by.
No, it's great. I just mean we're over. It's like,
I'm sorry.
You guys get all this for free. We give so much free content, and we don't even make you do DLC. This is free DLC for you. You're right.
Free downloadable content. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. What else? Keep telling people about the show.
Yeah.
I don't care about the GameStop stuff anymore because we're not making money on it.
That's sad.
I think one person, our good friend Jeremy, bought something from GameStop. And that's it. And so that made us $4.
Does GameStop even exist anymore? I mean, come on.
I mean, seriously, stop it, GameStop.
Who owns a truck? Right?
Not me.
I just like to have opinions about things that don't make any sense at all.
Well done, Seinfeld.
Milk cartons?
Right?
Why do I even need one of these?
I do have a strong opinion about a milk carton, is that they have this new thing where you have to twist off the cap. And I don't know why, but I find
that not been a thing? That's been a thing for like...
Oh, no.
10 years.
No, remember you do the old school lunch thing where you had to pull the tabs back and
seriously,
then squeeze again.
That is 10 years or more.
I know, but what I'm saying is that who decided that we can't manage to open up a milk?
We got frayed. The cardboard get frayed. It spoils because you can't keep the air inside, so it starts to smell like the rest of the fridge, and vice versa.
So why does it have to look like a milk carton?
That is a solid point.
On behalf of my good friend, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.